comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet we call home. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I know you could be a lot of other places, but you've chosen to be here, and I'm delighted you have. It's talk radio like nowhere else on earth, and it's the show where you matter. Let me remind you, for those of you who have procrastinated upon this, and let me inform you, for those of you who have you're new to the show and you haven't heard about it, we have a free weekly newsletter. It is called The K-Files, and it's truly free. It's not, no strings attached. It's truly, really, honest to God, free. And all you have to do is go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, click where it says K-Files. Can't miss it. It's the big link, the biggest link, right in the middle of the page as you look at your screen. You click that, and in about 10 seconds or so, you're subscribed, all right? Now, you do get a confirmation email that you have a link in there, and you've got to click that link to activate your subscription, but hey, it's free, and you can unsubscribe anytime you want to do so. I've gotten a few emails from folks saying, well, what's the deal? You're not taking calls anymore? And the answer to that is it has been. That's correct. And one person wanted to know, well, why? And the answer to that is, well, what's the deal? You're not making calls anymore? I had a show last week. All our guests last week were stellar guests. We had a show with a stellar guest and no calls. Then we had another show with a stellar guest and one call. I get the message. But tonight, because we have had several people asked me to open the phone lines. We'll give it a try. We'll see how it goes. But rest assured, I respond to you. And that's why we're opening the phone lines tonight in the second hour. And we'll see how it goes. And if it goes well, we'll keep responding that direction. If not, then I respond to your silence. And we'll just do the show. So it's up to you. But we will, in the second hour this evening, be opening the telephone lines. My guest this evening, of course, is to be Frances Emma Barwood. Frances Barwood is the city councilwoman, former city councilwoman in Phoenix, Arizona, who at the time of the Phoenix Lights incident simply responded to the constituents who were saying, we would like some answers about, is anybody going to investigate this? Who is going to investigate it? And she asked those questions in city council meetings, and there were people in power who did not want that question asked. And they made sure that Ms. Barwood paid a political price, and their lackeys in mainstream media picked up on it and did their best to persecute her out of politics. And really, shame on them. Shame on them. They should hang up their microphones, turn in their pens, and fade away. The country would be better. We'll be back with Frances Emma Barwood right after this.
Come on.
Indeed. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Frances Emma Barwood, and she's been my guest before, and she is quite an interesting person and played quite an important role in not just the Phoenix Lights event, as it has come to be known, but as it turns out, played quite an important role in the whole structure of what we usually call the disclosure movement. Here's why. It is because she, as a politician, stood up to other powers that be in Phoenix and simply did what her constituents asked her to do, and that is find out who's investigating this. Is anybody investigating this Phoenix Lights thing? She asked those questions, and those other powers that be either are co-opted by what we sometimes call the dark side, or they are, you know, cowards. They decided that it would be a whole lot easier to persecute her than to answer the question. To date, they have not answered that question. Frances, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Oh, it's really good to hear you again.
Frances, let me just, before we move on to some more contemporaneous discussion about what's happening in the whole world of UFOs and politicians, let me just ask this. Are any of those people that were involved in that persecution of you, are any of these people still big names in politics?
Yeah, there's a few.
Well,
mainly it was the local newspapers, and they're still around.
That's a shame. Although the Arizona Republic, that's the main newspaper there in Phoenix, and folks, it's got such a reputation that it is commonly known as the Arizona Repulsive. It really is. People talk about it that way. And it's a shame they're still in business, actually. In my opinion, a very poor excuse for a newspaper. But the national media kind of picked up on it as well, didn't they?
Well, pretty much. I would say that they were probably a lot more gentle to me than the local papers. They were actually, the newspapers and the media out of the country mm-hmm. were the most inquisitive as to what was going on and the most supportive of me.
That's always interesting. The news media outside this country, regardless of where you go, tends to be more free than here.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Considering, for the
yeah.
most part, on other ways, they're not at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. You know, maybe they're free here, but in their freedom, they've just decided to be idiots. I don't know. But one way or the other, I have, as you can tell, I have an excessively low regard for mainstream media. But that's no secret. You knew that, and so does the audience. Frances, this was the Phoenix Lights event was in what, 1997?
1997. Yeah.
When you stood up and said, "Hey, who's investigating this?" You set off shockwaves, which sort of tends toward pushing me towards the opinion that these folks are just cowards. But you set off shockwaves. The persecution started. We've had several presidents that have said they were going to find out about and tell us about UFOs. Jimmy Carter said so. And we saw how effective he was at it. Bill Clinton said so, and, well, we see what happened with him. Reagan was going to do it, and we see what happened to him. George Bush said he would. We see what happened to him. Barack Obama, he made fun of it and never said that he had an inclination towards finding out what they were and telling us about it. And in fact, he said, well, it depends on if there are space aliens out there. It depends on what we find out about them as to whether we tell the American people or not. He actually said that. So now we've had a sea change. Several things have happened. We've got the disclosure movement. It's been going for quite some time. We've got Stephen Bassett and the Paradigm Research Group pushing for disclosure, and the exopolitics people pushing for disclosure. We've had a ballot initiative out in Colorado, in Denver, Colorado, that although it did not pass, at least it put the issue in front of the voters. And that's something that hasn't been done before. And now we've had a sea change in Congress, the biggest change since the 1930s. And the reason that I bring all of that up is because of your background in politics and your involvement with things having to do with UFOs. Francis, does any of this matter? Does any of this change the climate around the issue of disclosure here in the United States?
I don't think so, and the reason is they're all afraid. They're all afraid of being ridiculed. You know, you're seeing all the cartoons they did on me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of funny. You know, at first I was pretty shocked because I thought, why are they so upset? And then I realized it's really not that they're upset. It's more that they're afraid.
Well, you're kinder than I am. I think they are afraid a little bit, but they're afraid of the monster they made. And I think the real fly in the ointment is not that they're afraid. I think it's that they're stupid. They created the monster of ridicule, and they're afraid of the monster they created.
And that's part of it. And I think the other part is that in their deepest thoughts, I think they're just afraid that maybe there is something out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is, so they may as well go ahead and wake up and smell the coffee.
Well, you know, the truth, while it may hurt a little bit, is always the best way.
Mm-hmm. So you don't think that this wave of new politicians being swept into Washington, you don't think it helps the disclosure effort any at all?
I can't hear you too clearly.
You don't think that this wave of new politicians that have swept into Washington in any way helps disclosure?
I don't think so, and I'll tell you what I do think will happen. It's going to be people like Stephen Bassett and the others who... It's going to come from the people. It's going to come from the public. Because the hierarchy, the structure of all the governments do not want to even think that there's somebody more intelligent, more important than Earthlings. And my statement to that is, if we're the best there is, we're in big trouble.
Well, you know, there are some really, really, really smart people living and working in Washington, D.C. But smart is not the same thing as intelligence. They really, really lack the intelligence as a group. They lack the intelligence of first graders. They miss it. They get it wrong on almost every issue, almost all the time. And, you know, without talking about politics or political issues involved in this election, I think the big story is that the people said very vociferously to the government, we are just about to decide that you, the government, are irrelevant. And we're going to make a big switch here, and if this doesn't work, this big switch is nothing compared to what's coming.
Yeah, and, you know, things are pretty scary out there right now, and a lot of people are really hurting, and the people who have worked really hard to get in where they are in government, kicking, screaming, pushing other people, whatever it took to get there, they don't want anything to rock their boats, so they're not going to do anything. And it's disappointing, because if they would just say, hey, let's open up all the records, let the people decide to, you know, look at it, and they can decide what they're going to do about it, and give us a little credit for some intelligence out here. But they won't do that.
Well, no. I mean, just look at their response in the beginning to the Tea Party. It was a joke. It was something to laugh at and laugh about, make fun of, ridicule, and criticize. And then they were terrorists. That spewed out of some Washington mouths. They were militants. They were terrorists. They were Nazis. And, you know, of course, in the end, the deal is most of those people that were spewing that nonsense got swept out of power.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them, but most of them. And, you know, Francis, I just think it's a precursor of what happens when people view their government as no longer relevant to them. This was pretty much of a revolution, but nothing compared to what will happen if the people truly get to the point where they view this government as irrelevant. Now,
well, and a lot of people are calling that the second American Revolution, which may happen.
Yeah, it might. And the thing is, of course, I hope it all happens at the ballot boxes, and I don't, in any way, shape, or form, in no way do I promote any type of violent acts. So when I use the word revolution, I'm using it as a ballot box revolution.
Absolutely. And the most important thing is that we need to have some sort of a paper trail with our votes, because how do you know what happens with the counting? We have to base it on faith, and that's even scary.
A lot of things in this climate, Francis, this climate of secrecy that surrounds UFOs and that surrounds extraterrestrial beings and that surrounds even space exploration, a lot of the secrecy has covered a whole lot of activity. Now, in Arizona, there are some pretty interesting things that take place there. For instance, and a lot of people don't know this, but this much is in public literature, in the public domain. There's a big weather modification program that's run out of Arizona. That's in bills that ran through Congress. There's the Vatican. Now, the Vatican is a government, folks. The Vatican is not the church. I know CNN uses them synonymously, and so does probably Fox and others, but the Vatican's not the church. There is the Roman Catholic Church, and then there is the Vatican. The Vatican is a government. It is a state. Not a state of the United States, but it is a state. And it has a head of state who happens also to be the head of the Roman Catholic Church, but it's a government. And they have an observatory, one of the premier observatories in the world, in Arizona. Do you know anything about that, Francis?
Well, I've heard that there's an awful lot of activity lately going on down there. Nobody seems to know why, but I just wonder if there's anybody that lives near there that could probably, you know, if they've seen anything, let you know.
What is it called, Mount Graham?
I think it is Mount Graham.
Okay, well, folks around Arizona, if you live anywhere near Mount Graham and you've noticed a lot of activity going on around there, we'd kind of like to hear. We're a little bit nosy about that. We'd like to know what's the deal with that. But this observatory is one of the premier observatories in the world. And are you aware, Francis, what their new telescope is named?
I don't know the name of it, but what's interesting is how did the Vatican come to be building one of the largest telescopes down in Tucson?
Yeah, well, that's why I was saying, you know, a lot of people don't know. It's not the church when you're talking about the Vatican. That's a state.
The Vatican government, true.
It's a government. So there's a foreign government with an observatory in Tucson, Arizona. And the name of their telescope is Lucifer.
It's what?
Lucifer.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. It's the Lucifer telescope.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, it
but
is a little bit.
That's done on purpose.
Well, you know, the word Lucifer means light or light bearer.
Right.
And I think they're using it in that sense, but it's a little bit, it takes your breath away a little bit to back up and say, whoa, wait a minute. The Vatican has a telescope in Tucson, and it's named Lucifer. A whole lot of the NASA programs are run from the university there in Tucson.
Well, and when you look at the biggest computer in the world, it's called the Beast, it kind of makes you wonder, too.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Francis, around Arizona, people still keep in touch with you. Well, we have to take a break.
Okay.
And we come back from this break, I've got a question about folks in Arizona since the Phoenix Lights. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking this evening with Frances Emma Barwood, a name that played a person who played a very large role in the Phoenix Lights incident in 1997. She was the city councilwoman at the time. People began contacting her after seeing the Phoenix Lights and wanting to know who's investigating it. Is anybody investigating it? And, Francis, you still have a lot of people from around Arizona that get in touch with you and talk to you and stay in touch with you. The governor at the time, Fife Symington, ridiculed the whole thing with a silly press conference. And since then, he has come out publicly and said, I did see it. And it was real, it was big, and he's, you know, he's an Air Force fighter pilot. And he said, yeah, it was enormous, it was big. And he said he didn't intend to ridicule. That wasn't his intention. People were just getting hysterical. I lived out in Arizona, as you know, for a number of years. I lived in the Phoenix area for the entire time. I talked to a lot of people about this. The only people who got hysterical were politicians. There was no mass hysteria out there on the ground. So now that years have passed and people are still getting in touch with you and staying in touch with you, what, if anything, is their reaction to the governor now, former governor, Fife Symington? Are they satisfied with his, I'm sorry?
Well, there's a lot of people that are still quite upset with him. I'm not. I understand totally why he did what he did. And he, if you remember at the time, he was on trial. And I sent everybody that had called me, I said, well, also tell the governor's office. And they did, so he got quite a few calls. And, you know, he had the choice. And that day when he did the noontime press conference, he was not expecting to get a question about that, which he did. And he said, yeah, we're looking into it. And then in the afternoon, he was called into the judge's chambers. And when he came out, he announced there was going to be an emergency press conference. And my personal theory is that they gave him a choice. You could go to prison, or you can make this a joke. And he had six kids. What would you do? So I don't have a problem with what he did. And he is a good guy. He's very nice. His wife is very nice. And the fact that he was even on trial to start with was because he bucked the federal government on the Grand Canyon. And everybody knew they were going to come down on him, and they did. So, you know, this was a choice he had to make. And anybody in their right mind would have probably said, okay, I'll make it a joke. So I don't have any bad feelings. But there's, you know, there's a lot of people who really hoped that he was going to seriously look into it. And then, you know, after the fact, he comes out and says that he did see it. Made some people even more upset with him. Why didn't he say it then? But he couldn't, because he was the governor. And you know the ridicule factor. So,
well, you know what you're describing? What you're describing sounds like the federal government is really just a massive organized crime.
Your lips to God's ears. That's about what people think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at what's happened just lately at the airport with the, you know, all this scanning and probing and everything, and you think, you know, this is, it's if you trade freedom for security, you're not going to have either. And if you reject their, oh goodness, what would you put it? You reject their orders, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And so it comes time for the public to say, you know what, we're just not going to take it anymore. We want to know the truth. We don't want, you know, right now with everything that's going on, the terrorists are winning. I mean, they've got us so tied up in all kinds of rules and regulations. They're not going to look like an average person. I mean, they're not going to look like a terrorist. They're going to go around everything. They don't need to go through anything. And so if they think this is going to stop anything, it's not.
Well, look, if you come in my home without my permission, that's a crime, unless you're the federal government. If you tap my telephone without a warrant, that's a crime, unless you're the federal government.
Uh-huh.
You walk up and grab someone by the crotch, that's a crime, for which, actually, you can go to jail for a very long time, unless you're the federal government, and then it's not a crime, it's a rule, and if you don't let us grab your crotch, we're gonna fine you.
Uh-huh.
If you expose someone to x-rays, and you're not a doctor, and you don't have a license to do that, that's a crime. Unless you're the federal government, and then you can have security guards do it at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I said that what you described really sounds like organized crime. And, you know, the goal of a terrorist is to control a population by doing a few things to a few people. That was done. Now, when I say a few things to a few people, look, almost 3,000 people died on 9/11. But that, in comparison to the whole country, that's a few. That's a very, very, very small percentage compared to the whole country. And yet that has brought about the dissolution of your constitutional rights.
Yeah, and it's making everybody very nervous. My son's flying in this week for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know how he's going to react to something like that.
Well, you know, they can only push so far. And when the American folks have had enough, they will rise in one voice and say no. And, you know, there is so much power in the word no that Washington, D.C. will have overflowing toilets. It will absolutely scare it out of them.
I truly hope so, because they're not listening to the people anymore. It seems that we're all just unimportant as long as they get to do what they want to do. And look at the little boy that went to school and had an American flag on the back of his bike. And they told him that he couldn't do it because it would upset some people.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't stop him. What ended up the next day is everybody came to school with flags on their bikes, and they had a whole bunch of veterans on motorcycles with flags all over their motorcycles, and they escorted him to school. And that's what it's going to take. And the school backed down.
Well, you know, I see this happening on a lot of issues, but, you know, the test run was UFOs. They have bullied and ridiculed on the subject of UFOs. The federal government has bullied and ridiculed, lied, destroyed lives, destroyed careers on the issue of UFOs, and they got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now that they got away, you know, the old saying, if you let the camel get his nose into the tent, you'll soon have the whole camel in the tent.
Yep.
Well, the camel's in the tent. And because they got away with that, they tried something else, and something else, and something else. And now most of the government is secret. Most of it is beyond control. And it was the UFO issue, more than any other issue, that pushed that into the realm of possibility. They got away with it so well.
Well, they stick out a few people, and that's the examples. And all they have to do is say, if you open your mouth, that'll happen to you, only it'll be worse.
And now, let's see, that's a whole lot like the terrorist tactics, isn't it?
Well, it's like the old protection racket.
Mm-hmm.
The mob, you know, the whole thing. It's the same thing.
It's the same as the terrorists.
Yeah.
A terrorist does a few things to a few people to get a big impact of fear out of a lot of people. And that's what that is. That tactic is a terrorist tactic. And therefore, those who are tapping my phones need to be tapping the phones of people who keep the secrets on UFOs. They need to be, you know, they think I'm a bad guy. These are truly bad guys that are keeping these secrets. And they're using terrorist tactics. They're using organized crime tactics. And it's time for people to stand up and say, hell no, we've had enough. And this issue of UFOs is at the center of it all.
Well, and it's going to take, again, it's never going to, the openness, the truth, is never going to come from the government. It is only going to come from the people. And you know, there's an old saying, if the people will lead, the leaders will follow. Mm-hmm. We need to get more and more people that are not afraid of the ridicule, the teasing, the jokes, the cartoons, whatever, and just say, you know what? We want to know what's going on. Open up all the files on whatever it is that's traveling in our skies.
Well, I think they need to do that. A lot of my audience will agree with what I'm about to say, and a lot of my audience disagrees. I know because I get the email, and so people are pretty evenly split on this. I think the people who have perpetrated the crimes against the American people in the name of UFO secrecy need to be prosecuted and imprisoned. In some cases, they need the death penalty because they have caused the deaths of other people.
That's true.
And they need to be hunted down like the scurvy dogs they are, and they need to be imprisoned. Now, a lot of people in my audience will say, oh, no, we need to give them amnesty so they'll come on out and talk. Okay, well, that probably is what it would take to get them to come out and talk and tell what they've done. I'm not for it, but I think it's probably necessary.
Well, and the time may come. You know, one of the things is, if you think about it, we used to have, well, who would be the best ones to find out everything that's going on and publicize it? It's the media. And we used to have investigative reporters who really investigated. And they do now, as far as, you know, somebody gets ripped off on a sale of something, or they get taken on a deal that was supposed to be good. But who better than the investigative reporters than to go in and really force the government to open their books? And we don't have any good investigative reporters anymore that would do that.
You know what? I think that's true, but I'll tell you why I think it's true. I think it's true because we don't have any good, honest, solid owners of media that have a moral core anymore. What we have is big corporate conglomerations, and they're just after the advertising bucks, and there's no moral core to them anymore. And that's why they don't fund investigative reporting. Therefore, there's no market for someone with an interest in being an investigative reporter. We have to step away for break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Frances Emma Barwood this evening, and we're talking with her about, her role as a politician at the time in the Phoenix Lights incident, and then in general, politicians and this UFO thing. But when we went away for break, we were talking about the role of the media, and we don't have good, solid investigative reporters that will dig into this stuff anymore. You know, Woodward and Bernstein were probably the last real investigative reporters that we had, and people say they brought down the president of the United States. They didn't. He did. They exposed his crimes, and that brought him down. His own actions brought him down. But he made a very interesting statement during all of that. Richard Nixon, when he appeared on the David Frost show, do you remember David Frost, Francis?
Yeah.
When he appeared on the David Frost show, made the statement that when the president does it, it's not illegal. He truly believed that the president was above the law. And I'll tell you, I think there are maybe one, two, or three presidents since him that, even though they haven't said that, have certainly acted in accord with that, that the president can rule the country. And they act like kings rather than as privileged citizens that have been put into a place of responsibility.
Yeah, they're supposed to be servants. That's the way it started. And if George Washington wanted to, he could have been king, and that's not what he wanted, and that's not what our forefathers wanted.
Yeah, they actually offered him the crown. They were going to make him king of America.
Yeah.
And he vigorously opposed that. And he said, there will be no kings here. But here's the thing. When you look at the UFO issue, it is the UFO issue and the way it's been handled by our government is a perfect model for totalitarianism. It's a perfect model for that. And all they have to do is apply the techniques that they've used for handling the UFO issue to every other area of politics, including the economy, including medicine. Just apply the same tactics. And what have you got? You got totalitarianism.
And that's a very scary thought, because it means that no matter what we do, they can just decide at that point that we deserve to go to prison.
Well, yeah, and I think that's coming, and I think I'm on the list. But and I don't say that tongue in cheek. I say it quite seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I think anyone who's still independently thinking and expressing opinions, I think, is on the list. Doesn't matter if they're on the right, the left, or like me, apolitical. If you're an independent thinker and you express opinions, you're a danger to those who want to control. And I think that's why there'll be a lot of academics on that list. So it always happens when
everybody thinks they're safe.
Yeah, when totalitarian governments take over a country, the first wave of people to disappear are the academics. And they need to back up and think about that. It's that way in every civilization down through history. The first wave to disappear are the independent thinkers. They're just,
and anybody that speaks out in protest, they're next.
Yeah. Of course, the only way that can be pushed back is for like 90% of a population to stand up and say, we're not going to have this. An example, in Serbia, people, and a lot of people haven't, in the West, have not thought about this. In Serbia, you had Milosevic, and the people were protecting him from being arrested and sent to The Hague. And they didn't want that to happen. But his downfall was he cheated his own people. And when they found out that he was stuffing the ballot boxes, they themselves brought him down. In one day, they themselves brought him down because he cheated his own people. And, you know, when a government turns against its own people, it's begging to be taken apart.
And how long does a republic last?
Well,
before they decide that they can have total control.
Well, I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well, when this country was formed, they said, you have a republic if you can keep it.
Yeah.
And the longest anyone has lasted as a free country has been around 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
And once they found out that they can, one, vote themselves money, and two, control the votes, that's when everything started to fall apart.
Well, yeah, that's when it becomes both totalitarian and organized crime.
That's true.
And, you know, we've seen a lot of that down through history. But again, what interests me about all of this is if you look at how the government has handled this UFO information, the way they have treated people related to the UFO information, the lies they have told. And hey, look, come on. Government guys, it doesn't do any good to stand up and say you haven't been lying. You know it. We know it. We've caught you. You know, it's done. Put a fork in it. You're done. They've lied. They've ridiculed. They've driven people insane. In some cases, people have disappeared. Some cases, people have died mysteriously. When you put all of the way they've handled the UFO thing out there and say, okay, now we're looking for models to install totalitarianism. And you look at all the various models, and you get to the one that is the UFO information. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It works.
Well,
it works.
And look back to the Phoenix, what would you call it? The Phoenix vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Because it obviously was a vehicle of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And of all the people that I talked to, which was over 700, the government didn't talk to anybody, didn't ask anybody questions. And to me, that means one of two things. One, they already knew what it was. Or two, they were afraid to, I guess, leak it out because it's something that they couldn't control.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was both.
Anybody.
I think they know what it was.
Anybody. And to me, you know, having something fly over as low as it did over parts of Nevada and all of Arizona, all the way down to the south and back again, that to me is a public safety issue. You would have thought that they would have been at least interested in, was there a danger? But
mm-hmm.
they didn't ask anybody anything. And all they did was ridicule anyone who did.
Yeah, and isn't it interesting? You go to China. Well, here, you know, you got the FAA saying, we didn't see anything. You got the Air Force saying, we didn't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows they're lying. I mean, we know it before we ask them. We're going to ask them a question. They're going to lie to us. We know that. You go to China, and they have one of these things show up over the airport, and on their news it says, an unidentified flying object appeared over the such-and-such airport today, halting traffic for an hour or something like that. They just report it.
Isn't that ironic?
Yeah. And we're the ones that, you know, they keep telling us we're free.
Ha, 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 ha.
Okay, that's funny. Tell us another one.
That box.
Yeah, well, we have to step away for break. When we come back, we will open the telephone lines and see if you're awake. We'll be back right after this. Turn the mic up. That always works better. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking this evening to Frances Emma Barwood. For those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it was that kept you from the first hour. And perhaps what we're talking about tonight may seem a little bit heavy for some folks, because I've been saying tonight, but it's not the first time I've said it, I've been saying tonight that if you take the way the government has handled the UFO information and the way they have ruined lives and ridiculed people, threatened people, and done much worse, and you look at how they've gotten away with it for 60 years, it's a perfect model for a totalitarian state. We're going to open up the telephone lines. We'll give it a try. We'll give it a shot. If you have a question or a comment for Frances Barwood, the telephone lines are open. And the telephone number is 623-444-5889. Toll free in the USA and Canada, the number is 888-223-4599. And if you live outside of the USA and Canada, you can send us a flash message by going to my website and just scroll down and you'll see the link. All right, Frances, are you still with us?
I am here.
Okay, well, the phone lines are open and we will see if we have any brave souls out there who would like to call in and ask you a question or make a comment. And if they do, they do. If they don't, they don't, and we will roll on. Frances, you, even though you're not a politician anymore, you certainly stay plugged into what's going on. And it's my understanding that you have unplugged yourself from officially being a part of either of the two major parties. Is that correct?
That's true.
Okay. Are there any alternative parties that are more open to getting this UFO information disclosed?
Oh, boy, I wish I could say yes. I'm an independent, and which is not a party.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that there's not really any, no, you know, what would you call it? No structured party that wants to know what it is that is in our skies from time to time. Now it seems much more frequently than ever.
Caller, if you will, just hang on. We'll get to you in just a second. But Frances, let's say there are no UFOs. Let's say that in reality there are none.
Uh-huh.
Aren't these parties, these political parties, aren't any of them interested in digging into then why has the government done all this stuff to people and spent so many millions and billions of dollars and destroyed so many lives? Aren't they interested in digging into that and finding out why?
No, and the reason is they're all afraid. They are just all afraid.
People who are afraid have no right to rule.
They don't want to talk about things that are difficult. They don't want to talk about things that make them feel uneasy. I'll give you one instance. When I was still on the city council in Phoenix, I had a report. I was in my office with another council person, and I had a reporter that called and wanted to talk to me and about the Phoenix lights. And I said to the other council person, "Why don't you stay here?" And he said, "I don't want to be anywhere near that. I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. I'm getting out of here." And he left.
Well, I'll say again, people who are afraid have no right to rule. Okay, let's... and they have no right to expect that we're going to elect them to rule. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Tony from Denver.
Hello, Tony.
Hello, Francis.
Hi, Tony.
And I'd like to thank you, first of all, for what you've done in the past, and I'm wanting to encourage you to run for higher political office.
Well, I try to support people that are, I don't care what party they are, that are honest and, you know, take our Constitution seriously. And if they took our Constitution seriously, they would want everything known to all people. Haven't found one that strong yet, but I'm getting up there. I'm going to be 67 pretty soon, and I don't think I really want to go back into office anywhere.
Okay, Tony.
I had a couple of things I wanted to talk about with the airport screening, if I could, Kevin.
All right.
First of all, I wanted to ask you guys what you think about profiling, and then second of all, I wanted to see what you thought about the waiver given to all the Muslim women wearing burqas going through the airport screening, that they don't need to go through the pat down or the anything else.
I would say wear a burqa.
What about the profile?
Yeah, we should all wear burqas, you know.
Tony, are they actually have they actually decided to do this, Tony? Hello, Tony.
You broke up there. I couldn't hear you.
Tony, I ask you, have they actually decided that they're going to give a waiver to the Muslim women?
Yeah, they asked Janet Napolitano, and she wouldn't say they're going to get treated like everybody else. They're going to get treated with a, you know, an exception.
Oh, they are.
You can't do that to Muslims, you know. It might offend our president.
Okay, now, first of all, that absolutely is infuriating. That is some more Napolitano insanity that we suffered from when she was in Arizona. And if she's really going to do that, Homeland Security needs to be shut down.
You said it.
Yeah, we can shut them down right after we shut down NASA, huh, Kevin?
NASA is nothing more than a gnat on an elephant's rump. But Homeland Security, if they're going to do that, they need to be shut down. It's absolutely unconstitutional, illegal, criminal in every way.
Well, I don't want to get you all started again, Kevin, but thanks for letting me get in here.
Okay.
Thanks, Tony.
And that's not political. Homeland Security, look, I am for security, and I am not anti-American. I am anti-idiot Napolitano. And these policies are coming from her, and she is absolutely the worst thing that could happen to actual Homeland Security. Now I'm on a list.
Well, and it's true, and, you know, we need to profile. What's wrong with profiling?
Well, look, profiling happens every day. The cops, before their shift, they go in for briefing. And during briefing, they are told, we had this happen, we had that happen. Over on this street, we had this happen. You need to be on the lookout for. And they give a description. Now, that description includes whether he's white, black, Mexican, American, or Asian. That description includes whether it's a male or a female. It tells you how tall he is, how heavy he is. So what are you doing now as you're driving down the street? Let's say the description is it's a white male, 5'7", and he weighs 200 pounds. He has curly blonde hair. Well, I'm looking at all the white males as I drive down the street now as a cop. Is that profiling? Yeah, it is. Why? Because I'm looking for a specific thing. You know, if you can't profile, you can't do police work. Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
How you doing?
Good.
A little stressed, I take it?
Not at all. Not at all.
You have a slight beeping sound in your broadcast. I heard it cut out once.
Okay.
I don't know if somebody's tapping in or what. But
I'm sure.
Yeah. Anyway, here's something a little off topic, but it's not really. I was recently in Ohio, and I one of my cousins back there adopted a little girl in China. And to adopt someone in China, the child can't go back because their birth parents will go to prison. But they had to go through an interview to see what how they were going to raise their child. They are raising this little girl to be a model citizen, not a human being.
In China.
In the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm wondering is, what is a citizen except somebody who serves the government? And then that definition is by the way she's raising this little girl.
Well, I really don't know what would be involved with raising a child to be a model citizen. In the United States, for at least up until the beginning of this year, a model citizen is someone who believed in the Constitution and believed in freedom. That doesn't appear to be the case now.
Yeah, I know. My thought was that a model citizen was someone who could think for themselves.
Yes.
But now here's a question for Jan,
Francis.
I can't remember her name.
Anna. Francis.
Francis. You have a little more insight into politics than I do. What do you think would happen to the political infrastructure if all their secrets were revealed tomorrow?
That's what they're afraid of.
What would happen?
I think that it would probably make people realize that, I don't know how to say this other than just say it, but like anything that is man-made, whether it's religion, government, whatever, if there is something that comes about, say the secrets that they have shows that there's other civilizations in other worlds, then people would start thinking, well, this is not all there is. And that's their big fear. Their fear is that their very carefully planned structure would fall apart. I don't know if it would completely fall apart. You know, we still have to have civilization, because when you don't have rules and you don't have the basics and you don't act in a proper and kindly manner to fellow humans, you're uncivilized. So you do have to have some structure. What they've built, though, is a structure that is becoming so restrictive that everybody's living in fear of what's coming next. So if they knew all the secrets, and if those secrets showed that there was something other than what they've told us and that they've been lying to us for however many years, they would lose their power.
Yeah. Another thought for you. The all of these drug companies get their waivers on flu vaccines and stuff like that. What would people think if they realized that the drug companies are essentially being allowed to do what the Nazis did in their concentration camps, using people as guinea pigs?
Well, I think a lot of people are becoming aware of that, and that's why they're trying to restrict the sale of natural remedies, because natural remedies is originally what the pharmaceuticals were based on, except that they made the chemical equivalent, which is not really an equivalent. So you can get natural remedies that will do much more, faster and better than what the pharmaceuticals make. And so what they do is they put addictive measures in there and addictive chemicals to keep people coming back. I mean, their whole thing is making money, not curing people.
Yeah. Well, that was my thoughts for tonight.
Okay, Brent, thanks. Let me let me say that I want to underscore my outburst about Janet Napolitano is not her personally. It's these policies coming from her. I mean, this is the same chick that said that our returning veterans might be a threat to Homeland Security.
Right.
Okay.
People who cling to their guns and religion.
That's right. Well, I think she's a nutty chick. when it comes to these policies, she's a nutty chick. She's not a heavyweight thinker, and she's anti-American. I am for security. I'm for this country. But these policies, if what Tony from Denver told us, if that's the case, then I think the way you solve this, folks, is you just refuse to fly. And it won't even take a whole bunch of us. You know, 20% of us, 30% of us that fly refuse to fly. Just don't.
Yep.
And I'll tell you something. The airlines will have Napolitano backed up against the wall with spears to her throat.
Well,
metaphorically speaking, Janet, metaphorically speaking.
Well, the pilots union has come out in opposition to the body scan because they said it's giving people constant doses of x-rays, which they know is harmful.
Yeah. Yeah, I think.
And then, you know, it's like nobody's going to be touching my body. And my son is coming in with his wife of 2 years, and I'm almost afraid of what's going to happen because nobody's going to touch his wife or his body, and mm-hmm. they're not going to go through the scan.
Well, I think Americans should stop flying. And listen, Canada has refused to use these scanners. The European Union is considering outlawing them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, the United States says, well, if you're going to get on a flight coming to America, you got to go through it. Not if they say no. If the European Union says no, it's no. And
for instance, that printer that was hooked up to be a bomb and go off 7 hours after the airplane was in flight, which would have put it right over New York. That was, you know, they found that quite by accident. That wasn't on a body. That was not going to be found by a scan.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get more creative.
Well, they are. And look, they have bomb-sniffing dogs that are excessively accurate. All they have to do is just have you pass in front of the dog on your way through the line, and if the dog reacts, well, then they can pat you down.
Well,
but you don't need a full body scan.
Just by accident, which was horrifying, put to sleep that fully trained dog that was in Afghanistan and saved the lives of three soldiers, and the one brought him back. And he got loose, and somebody captured him, and they euthanized him right away in the Humane Society, which never happens. And, I mean, that was horrifying. And then you think, here's all these dogs that they can only be used for so long, and they go through this training to sniff bombs and sense terrorists, which is how he saved his men. And why don't we just use these dogs?
Well, I don't know. But I do know that there are ways to do what they say they're trying to do that will work much better than these methods that they're using. They know it. Airport security and other developed sophisticated nations know it. You know, but why are they doing this? Well, it is regimentation, and again, they're following the model of totalitarianism set out in the way they've gotten away with the UFO secrets for 60 years. They've gotten away with it. They think they can follow that model on every other issue. All they have to do is tell you it's for your own good, and then, and you know. Francis, one of the things I heard a comment on television where they were reading some email that people had sent in response to this young man who said, no, I'm not going through a scanner. Uh-huh. And yes, you can pat me down, but if you touch me inappropriately, I'm going to have you arrested. Uh-huh. And now he's facing an $11,000 fine. Uh-huh. And one lady wrote in and said, look, you know what the rules are before you get on the airplane. And, you know, she was saying, you know, no sympathy for him. He knew the rules before he went there. Okay. But here's the issue. Who gave them the right to make that rule? That's unconstitutional.
It is.
Who gave them the right to make the rule? Now, what gives them the idea that they can do it and get away with it? How they have done the UFO information. What they've done with the UFO issue.
The system.
They know they got away with it.
You know, it's again, it's the old protection racket.
Yeah.
If somebody says anything, they're going to be made an example of.
Well, yeah. And, you know, this whole thing about, you know, taking away our Fourth Amendment rights. I hear people say, oh, they haven't done that, and everything that they're doing to us is constitutional. I heard the former director of the TSA on television talking about this incident with the young man who refused to be patted down.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually came out and said that, you know, none of us American citizens like having our Fourth Amendment rights violated, but unfortunately that's the way it's got to be.
No, that's just totally unacceptable.
Yes.
It's like, okay, well, you can't violate the Fourth Amendment unless we violate the Fourth Amendment. This is insane.
Well, it goes back to that line of reasoning that Richard Nixon used with David Frost. And if the president does it, it's not illegal. If the government does it, it's not illegal. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. And at the moment, the government constitutes, it is, in conglomeration, one of the largest committers of crimes in this country because it's violating constitutional rights every second of every day. They're doing it right now with my phone taps and your phone taps.
Mm-hmm. And what bothers me is, you know, people just say, oh, just don't say anything and we'll just go through it. Well, it's until we get more people saying, no, I'm just not going to take this, we're going to keep getting more of the same.
Well, right. And that's what I was talking about earlier. Instead of protesting at the time, the best thing to do is organize a boycott to just not fly. Don't fly. Stop flying, America. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening is Francis Emma Barwood. We're going to leave the telephone lines open for just a few more minutes if you have a question or comment. Francis Barwood is the lady who, as a city councilwoman in Phoenix, Arizona, back in 1997, stood up and said, okay, now wait a minute, lots and lots and lots of people have seen this thing that flew over our city. I'm getting a lot of people requesting to know who's investigating it. So who's investigating it? She asked the question. Francis, at the time, you would have thought that from their reaction that you had just thrown a sack of snakes into the room.
Yeah, I think that's what they thought. To me, it wasn't that astounding. I didn't realize. I just wanted to know an answer.
Mm-hmm.
And being nosy by nature, you know, I asked.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you asked. And I think lots of people around the country appreciate the fact that you asked, and people around the world appreciate the fact that you stood up and just asked. And, you know, it wouldn't matter if this event is an event that happened. There was no way to deny that it happened. It happened. And thousands of people saw it. You know, it wouldn't matter if we were talking about, there was a bus that overturned at a certain intersection and people were hurt, people were killed. Who's investigating this? I mean, it's an event that happened, and it's a legitimate question. Okay, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Stefan in Quebec City, Kevin.
Hello, Stefan.
Hello. Francis. How are you?
Yeah. Hi. I'm good.
Oh, that's great. Francis, I was wondering, you've been doing this for 13 years, and with a lot of fervor,
yeah,
a lot of passion and dedication. What would vindicate you? Or what would bring justice to your efforts in the long term? What do you expect might happen?
Well, the best scenario that could happen is that they open up all their records without blacking out all the pages and let people see what they've been hiding for all these years. The next best thing that could happen is we have a landing somewhere where they can't deny it. And I always say, if it would be like on the biggest football game in the country, on a time where everybody's watching and they couldn't shoot it down and they couldn't say it didn't happen, but eventually it will. I mean, we'll know what it is because it's only a matter of time.
Okay. And in regards to the supposed ships that might land, in the case that these people aren't disclosing now, do you think that it might be a better scenario for that contact and landing to happen rather than actual disclosure?
You mean if it was an actual landing as opposed to opening the records?
Yeah, because I mean, if the country that does disclose becomes the leader of the world, and we have cowards in charge now in charge of those records, you know, are we going to be led by cowards throughout the world?
Boy, that's a really good question. Kevin and I have talked about this before. I sincerely don't fear anything that's out there, because obviously they're much more intelligent than we are, and if they meant us harm, they would have done it already.
I agree.
So probably the best scenario would be to have a landing and to have some very few brave reporters out there reporting it.
Where are you going to find those?
Well, I was reaching.
Kevin, I just want to make one last observation. This is an awesome show, and I really enjoy listening to Ms. Barwood speak at all times. My personal feeling in the post-disclosure world is that it's going to be so monumentous, especially after contact maybe, that I don't think there will be a United States after. I think it'll be so revolutionary that something is going to happen where the world will unite, but it won't be under government.
Well, you may be right. I can't see into the future, and I can speculate, but I can't actually predict what the future may hold. I think there is going to be an enormous paradigm shift, and I mean, everything that we can think of is going to change. Yeah. So you might be right.
Kevin, great show. Thank you, and thank you, Francis.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Yep.
Thank you, Stefan. 623-444-5889. Toll-free 888-223-4599. If you would like to speak with Francis Barwood, that's the number to call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, it's Brian from Burnaby.
Hello, Brian.
Kevin and Francis.
Hi there.
Yes, I was just wondering, the WikiLeaks has had two major document releases in the past few months, and I was wondering, was there anything in all those massive document leaks that referred to UFOs or ET presence in any way? And perhaps that might be a way to go in the future, to because obviously they have an inside track to a lot of government quote unquote secrets.
Well, to the best of my knowledge, there was no UFO material in there. What, Francis, do you know of any?
I have not heard of anything, and there's so many people, good people out there that are keeping their eyes on everything, that I'm sure if it would have mentioned those types of secret papers, we would have known.
Brian, let me throw something at you here. Are you still with us, Brian?
Yes.
Okay. Let me throw an idea at you. Somewhere deep in the bowels of the secret government, someone suddenly, for whatever reason, discovers they have a conscience and decides they are going to take some really, really important and detailed information about UFOs and extraterrestrials, and they're going to send it to WikiLeaks. Okay? And let's say they do that. And let's say that WikiLeaks decides to publish that. Do you not think that the reaction to that would be in the UFO community? Oh, no, that's just all disinformation.
Yes, and I guess the information itself would have to be evaluated on its merits. I'm sure there would be ways of cross-check. Once the information came out, I'm assuming that there would be a lot of ways to cross-check on that and to perhaps, if, for instance, get in contact with the people named in the documents.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that will happen. That would be an interesting thing. Somewhere in all of that secret organization, there's got to be one person who has a conscience. You would hope.
Well, that'd be somebody.
Other documents.
Do what?
I said there has to be somebody out there.
Mm-hmm. And Brian, what did you say?
I just thought I'd throw that out there because, there are so and it wasn't just that the documents were released, but that there were so many of them and all at once. I'm not sure over what time period they were collected, but, just such a, 9,000 documents. I thought something must be in there somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Like I say, I haven't researched those documents, so I don't know. I'm not aware of there being anything about UFOs in there, but that for people that are researching those, that will be something to look for. Brian, thanks for the call.
Thank you very much. Thank
All right.
you, Francis.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
623-444-5889. Toll free 888-223-4599. You know, Francis, one of the things that, because of the climate we live in now, one of the things that people really worry about is that, you know, if you speak up about something that the government doesn't want you to speak up about, they will label you as resenting the government, as anti-American, a possible threat to national security. And they are doing that. They are doing that. Doesn't that sort of smack of McCarthyism?
Kinda.
It's exactly so, what they were doing.
Know, nothing's new under the sun.
Yeah. The new Joe McCarthy looks like Janet Napolitano. Okay, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, I just wanted to ask the guest a quick question.
Go ahead.
And you.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of reports of people being abducted, a lot of women with fetuses being taken away, and cross hybrids and other things. I just wanted to know how you guys feel about the fact that there's good evidence that aliens have been playing with our genetic material and making abductees feel like they're isolated because of the media laughing at them. Thank you.
Okay, Francis, you want to take that?
Can I answer this?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things that somebody had said to me a while back, who had an experience, and they said it's kind of, they were terrified. And they said it's kind of like a child when they're first brought to a doctor and how terrifying that is to them. It's the same sort of feeling of helplessness. And so I don't know if what they're doing is examining people to see if there's problems coming because of our environment or chemicals or medicines or whatever. But so far, as far as I know, nobody has been permanently injured, which makes me think that if they are doing this, that they're just seeing how we are, or seeing if we have any damage, or maybe even just finding out what we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's a guess.
Well, we have a break coming up, and I will talk about abductions and hybridization and messing with genetics. I'll do all of that when we come back from break, all right? Ladies and gentlemen, my guest this evening is Frances Emma Barwood, in my opinion, a great pillar of integrity that we used to see in politics. Wish we could see some of it again. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my guest this evening, Frances Emma Barwood. My answer to Bob's question, Bob in California, is on the one hand, there have been a lot of reports about abductees, female abductees, being subjected to having fetuses implanted. And then later removed and so forth. A lot of reports about that. I'm not sure that it's extraterrestrials that are doing that. I am almost convinced that that's part of the MyLab program, the military abduction program. And that's not necessarily military either. That might be some of these private contractors, but we refer to it as the MyLab program in the UFO community. So I'm not prepared to say it doesn't happen. But that messing with our genetics is something more likely to be done by human mad scientists. They're doing it every day with the fluoride in your water and the chlorine in your water. They're doing it with the chemtrails. This backscattering X-ray at the airports messes with your genetics. And by the way, Francis, there is a report out today that when they say, well, you know, this is such a low dose of radiation, it's not going to hurt you. And a group of scientists have come out with a report that says, yeah, but it's focused on your skin, which is excessively sensitive to that frequency of X-ray. And so it's effectively 20 times stronger than what they're telling you.
That's scary.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
But if they've never lied to us before.
Oh, no. Yeah. No. They put their hand on a Bible and raise the other hand and take an oath. They wouldn't lie.
Yeah.
Look, the government is messing with your genetics every second of every day. And that's been going on since at least the 1950s. You know, back then, Francis, when in the late 50s and into the 60s, when they were doing those above-ground atomic tests, remember they would say there'll be an atomic cloud going over the city in the morning, so you need to stay inside?
Yep.
Well, staying inside isn't going to help you.
Nope.
We breathe it in.
Look at the amount of cancer that's in the world today, and you wonder if it wasn't from the exposure as children.
Yeah. And so they've been messing with our genetics. Look at the immense amount of oil they allowed to blow into the Gulf of Mexico, and the government sat back and just sort of said, well, it's BP's problem, but we're going to make them pay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then they first allowed BP to put all of that core exit dispersant into the water. Highly, highly toxic. And then they told them to stop, and BP said, yeah, okay, and they kept doing it.
Well, and look at the they're saying that all the shrimp and everything is okay to eat.
Well, that's what they're saying, but there are fishermen that go and get those shrimp that say they took them home and cooked them, and they were not edible. They were like rubber.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take our last call. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Heidi from Manitoba calling.
Hello, Heidi.
Hi, Heidi.
Hello. Hi, Francis. Yeah, you know, I just listening to the show, and you know, I'm just gonna say, were you aware that the when people go through those scans, I understand that although they say that none of the data is being kept, that it can be kept. So all the data, whatever, you know, your body impression and that, all of that data on you can be kept in permanent records, although they are saying that it cannot, or that the government is not keeping that information.
Yes, and are you
one little bit?
Are you aware that when the NSA got their hand slapped for listening in on everyone's telephone calls, they said, "Okay, well, yeah, but we're not doing that anymore." And everybody went, "Oh, okay." No, they're not. The U.S. Army is. They pass that software to the U.S. Army, and the U.S. Army has a unit that's doing that. And so when they say, we're not storing that data, they may be telling the truth that they themselves are not storing it, but a private contractor may be.
Yeah, yeah. It is being stored, and I think that, you know, we are wise not to have any of those types of scans, and, you know, I really sympathize with people who are required to travel frequently with their jobs, where they may not have that choice, but, you know, I think of those people going through the x-rays like that on a regular basis, that will really be, they will be frequent friars.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And the solution, America, don't fly. All you have to do is don't fly for 1 week and watch what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. Homeland Security will have a come to Jesus meeting. All right, Heidi, thanks for the call. We are just about out of time. And, folks, I'm not against Homeland Security. I'd like to see some. I haven't seen any yet. I've seen a lot of jackbooted Nazi tactics, but I haven't seen actual security. This nonsense isn't actual security. It doesn't work. That's why I mean it's not actual security. Yeah, I mean, you know, it doesn't work. And they, one of the things, Francis, they'll point to and say, well, we haven't had any successful attacks in so many years. Yeah, well, you know, Al-Qaeda spent 6 years planning 9-1-1. Six years just to plan it. They're patient. We haven't had any more big stuff because they're planning. That's why. Not because we're running around taking away everybody's freedom.
Well, they only have to be right once.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But you see, the thing is, look, Israel is the most uptight about security of any nation in the so-called free world. They have more security measures in place than any other nation in the alleged free world. Do they get hit with terrorist attacks? Every day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you cannot make a country safe from terrorism. You can make it a little safer, but you can't make it safe from terrorism. However, what you can do, in the name of making it safe, you can take everybody's freedom away. You can make them less free, but not more safe.
That's true.
And the fact is, there are bad guys all over the planet, in every nation. There are. And this is why some people tell me that I'm just way too radical when it comes to this. But, folks, the cure for a terrorist and the cure for terrorism is lead in the head. That's it.
That's right.
That's the cure.
That's very true. It's like, get rid of the terrorists. Don't get the people. Don't take all the rights away from the people.
That's right.
It's not our fault.
Yeah. Francis, we're just about out of time. I want to thank you for being with us this evening, and if you will, just stay on the phone with me for a moment, okay?
Sure.
That's it, folks. That's a wrap for this evening. A little bit different approach, looking at how UFO secrecy has tended towards totalitarianism. And that's, as I say, a wrap for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.